Lord, would you speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you? Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message tonight exactly as you'd have him to. Filled with your spirit simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything tonight to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to talk about a couple things here that's near and dear to my heart. Start with food. Now, I realize that when you Google something, you can find a gazillion different answers to the question. But what do you think I found listed as the five favorite ice cream flavors in the United States? I'll tell you, starting out number five, chocolate chip. Number four, strawberry. Number three, cookies and cream. Number two, chocolate. And number one, vanilla. Kind of hard to believe it, that vanilla still, most things that I read said vanilla was still number one. I don't know, Larry. You'll have to take it up with the pollsters, I guess. But vanilla number one, chocolate number two, cookies and cream, strawberry number four, number five, chocolate chip. Let me ask you, what is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Vanilla? Ryan? Mint chocolate chip. I knew he was going to say mint. He's the only one in our family that really likes mint like that. Anyone else want to share? What is your favorite flavor of ice cream? Anything with peanut butter, okay. Bill, what's your favorite ice cream? Butter pecan. All right. What was it, Jason? Rocky Road. I got to kind of agree with Jason on that. Rocky Road. Have you ever had that? It's got the little peanut butter cups in it, too. Good stuff. All right. Five favorite foods in America, according to one place that writes about food. The five favorite foods in America. Make anybody hungry yet? Number five, now you may agree, disagree, I don't know, but number five, pancakes. Pancakes. Number four, mac and cheese. Number three, by the way, we're taking the church van after church. Going to find any place that's opened. Number three, hot dogs. Number two, cheesecake. And number one, burgers. Burgers. So let me ask you, what is your favorite food to eat? Favorite food? Cheeseburger, Teresa says. Steak. Lon, what's your favorite food? Pizza. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised it didn't make it in there somewhere. Ken? Mashed potatoes and gravy. That's not a bad choice. Not a bad choice. Connie, what's your favorite? Anything pork, huh? Okay. Now, did you notice that when I asked the question, it got you to thinking? I mean, when I just say, okay, the survey says or whatever, the poll says, these are the favorite, you're just kind of listening. But when I say, well, what's your, you know how it kind of engaged you into the conversation and your brain started clicking there a little bit, started thinking about it because the ball was back in your court, so to speak, right? Well, tonight, you see, Jesus used that technique masterfully because we're going to talk about this a little bit more in detail in a moment, but when Jesus asked a question, he always knew the answer, but he asked the question to get people to thinking and pondering about themselves. And tonight we're talking about the toughest question. I believe that Jesus asked. Now, I know that's open to debate. You may say, no, I think this one or that one. But once you see it, I think you'll agree that it is a tough question. Remember, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the toughest commandment. The toughest commandment. Matthew 6:44. I'll just read it to you. Matthew 6:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I don't know about you, that's a tough commandment. I mean, that's a tough one, right? You might say, oh, I know of another tougher. That's fine. This is just kind of my view of what the tough is, but I think we would agree that it was a very tough commandment. Tonight, the toughest question, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. I just want to leave you hanging on the edge of your seat waiting for that, okay? But the title of the message tonight, the toughest question. Number one, if you're taking notes, why did Jesus ask questions? And I've already kind of alluded to that already. He always knows the answers, but questions make us think and ponder and examine ourselves. It gets to the heart of the matter. It gets personal. It's expecting a response from us. And if you like sports, it puts the ball back into our court. So why did Jesus ask questions? It wasn't because he didn't know the answers. It's because he wanted us to think about it. Question, or Roman numeral number 2, how many questions did Jesus ask? How many questions did Jesus ask? You know, some have counted in the Gospels that Jesus asked 307 questions. Now, I did not take the time to go through. That would take a while. So I did not have the opportunity to do that. But someone said 307, and one fellow wrote a book, Bob, T-I-E-D-E-D-E. I don't know if that would be Ted or whatever, Bob. He compiled a book about it. He entitled it 339 Questions Jesus Asked. And I saw in there you could get a free download of it. And he didn't look like a Yahoo. He looked like he was affiliated with a pretty good group. So I figured that would be a pretty good reading. But he did not take into account parallel passages. Like if it's the same account in different Gospels, he didn't count it as one. He counted it as two. But according to him, Matthew had 109 questions in that Gospel, the questions of Jesus. Mark, 68 questions. Luke, 55 questions. And John, 135 questions. And someone counted, when I Googled, they counted that there were 3,294 questions in the whole Bible. 3,200. Boy, that would really take a long time. 3,294. Take those numbers kind of with a little bit of doubt there because you did come up with different numbers. But I think it kind of gives us an idea. So Jesus asked 300 and some questions in the Gospels and in the Bible, over 3,000 questions according to one source. Roman numeral number 3, what was the first question that Jesus asked in the Gospels? I'm going to share that with you. It's John chapter 1 and verse 38. What was the first question that Jesus asked in the Gospels? And it's a very noteworthy question as well. John chapter 1 and verse 38. John chapter 1 and verse 38. If you turn there in your Bibles, or it's up on the screen now if you want, but notice, this was asked of two of John the Baptist's disciples. Remember, John the Baptist said, called Jesus the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. And these two disciples of John the Baptist heard Jesus speak and started to follow Jesus. And one of them is named as Andrew, and probably the other one is John, because John was very hesitant about putting his name in there, but it's found in his gospel. So it's probably Andrew and John. And in that verse, it says, then Jesus turned and saw them following and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And it goes on from there a little bit. But the question is, what seek ye? That's a pretty good question to ask him, don't you think? Again, Jesus knew the answer, but these two disciples following him, leaving John the Baptist following him, what are you after? What are you looking for? What are you seeking after? It's a pretty good question for us, don't you think? What are we seeking in life? I'm really concerned about what a lot of Christians are seeking after. And we all can be tempted to follow and seek after the wrong things, but we should be as diligent as Peter and John, or excuse me, Andrew and John, and be seeking after Jesus, don't you think? So, what was the first question? What seek ye? Roman numeral number 4, what was the last question of Jesus? Last question of Jesus is found in John 21 and verse 17. John 21 and verse 17. Do you remember the story? Some of the disciples were fishing. Remember they'd gone back fishing. Peter said, I go fishing. Jesus had resurrected back to life. The resurrected Jesus shows up on the shore of the Sea of Galilee there. And he asks them if they have any meat. Remember that? The disciples answered no. Jesus said, well, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And they caught 153 fish. But remember, Jesus asked Peter a very similar question 3 times. The first one's a little bit different, but the last two are the same. Lovest thou me? So as far as we know, that was the last question of Jesus in the Gospels. He asked Peter, lovest thou me? They did that 3 times. Remember how many times he denied the Lord? 3 times? I really think that's why he asked him 3 times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me, essentially? That's a pretty good question for us too, don't you? Not only what seek ye, but do you love me? Lovest thou me? I have an admission to make. I could love the Lord more. And that's something that I like to pray about and say, Lord, help me to love you more. Help me to love people more. Help me to love you more. So, still a good question. So, the first question, what seek ye? The last question, lovest thou me? And then Roman numeral number 5, what do you think the most important question that Jesus asks in the Gospels? Now, again, you may say, no, I think this, but I think this is a pretty good, if this is not the top, it's pretty close to the top. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. You kind of got to set the context here just a little bit. The reason I'm not hitting these two awful hard is because I want to hit the last question a little bit. The toughest question. That's the title of the message tonight. But what is the most important question that Jesus asks in the Gospels? Jesus asked his disciples in verse 13, just before this, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Remember how they answered that? The disciples answered, well, John the Baptist. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elias or Elijah. Some say Jeremias or Jeremiah. And then they said, or one of the prophets. So that was their answer. But he saith unto them, unto his disciples, you know what? And I believe this is probably the most important question that Jesus asked. And as you translate it even to today, the most important question that you can ask, but whom say ye that I am? But whom say ye that I am? You know, that's a big question for the world, right? And for individuals in our families and for our neighbors and for the folks that we encounter. Who do you think Jesus is? You know, do you realize that your answer to that question is the difference between heaven and hell? So to me, it's the most important question that Jesus asks, the most important that we can transfer to 2023. It's a very important question. Who do you think Jesus is? Peter, as is typically his way of operating, he was the first to speak up. And he said, thou art the Christ. That would be the anointed one, the Messiah. The Son of the living God. Good answer, don't you think? And I believe it's a very important question for us to ask in some way, shape, or form. Who do you think Jesus is? We need to come, in order to be saved, we need to come to the conclusion, Son of God, died upon the cross, resurrected back to life, and when he died upon the cross, he paid for my sins. We need to come to that conclusion. So the first question, what seek ye, right? The last question, lovest thou me? The most important question, whom do you say that I am? And the one tonight we're focusing on in particular, Roman numeral number 6, if you're taking notes. What is the toughest question that Jesus asks? I'm going to read this, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49, okay? Luke chapter 6, if you want to open up in your Bibles or if you want to follow along. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, if you're looking at the context of this passage, it's probably a condensed version of the Sermon on the Mount found in Matthew's Gospel. And just in case you, if you're curious, if you look at verse 17, some might say, and some would say, that this is a totally different address that Jesus taught to these disciples, taught to the ones that were following him, seeking a miracle. The Pharisees were also present, according to Matthew's Gospel in particular. You look at verse 17, and it says, "And he came down with them and stood in the plain." Now you say, whoa, wait a second, plain. Matthew, Sermon on the Mount, it says is on the mountain. So this says plain. Well, if you understand that the word plain could also be translated plateau, it could be the same address. Now, if you say, nah, it's totally different, that's fine. I have no problem with that. But if you look at it, it does say, if it does say plateau, it could be on the mountain, but the very top of the mountain is where he's teaching. And as he's teaching this, he doesn't include, it's not quite as long as the passage in Matthew. Luke condenses it a little bit. But if you notice the question, I don't know, you may have noticed it as we went through, and I believe it's the toughest question that Jesus asks. The toughest question that Jesus asks. Notice in verse 46. Now, I think this could apply to us. I think this can apply to Christians. It says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You know, I believe everyone here would say, yeah, Jesus, Lord, Lord. You know, Lord means supreme in authority. And we would say, Lord, Lord, you're my Lord. Absolutely, you're supreme in authority. You know, the Bible makes no qualms about it. Jesus is supreme in authority. I'm not going to turn there, but I jotted them down. If you want to do so, jot them down, you can. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 15. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14. And Revelation 19, verse 16. That's 1 Timothy 6, 15. Revelation 17, 14. And Revelation 19, 16. In each one of those places, guess what it calls Jesus? King of kings and Lord of lords. So it clarifies quite clearly that Jesus Christ is indeed supreme in authority. Not only is he just Lord supreme, he's over all power and over all authority. And we as Christians would say, absolutely, I'm a Christian preacher. He is my Lord. He is supreme in all authority. But look at the rest, look at the question that he asked. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do we have anyone here that says, you know what? Sometimes I just don't do what the Lord says to do. That's one of the reasons I like to call this the toughest question that I know of in Scripture. It's kind of like, yeah, Lord, you nailed it. You're Lord, Lord, and we believe you're Lord, Lord, but sometimes I have a hard time doing what you say. Now, if you look at this in particular, this is, as it goes on, it then gives you an example. And I really think that this example that he gives can apply to an unsaved person who does not build their life on the Lord at all, may have lip service only, or I believe it can apply even to a Christian who says, Lord, Lord, and someone that says, you know, Lord, I know what you say, but I'm not going to do what you say. And then he talks about this house, right? It says, you got to look at verse 47, because some people kind of misquote this whole story about the house. You say, what is it built upon? Well, it says, whosoever cometh to me, it's not just built upon the teachings of Jesus. It's built upon doing the teachings of Jesus. Do you see a little bit of difference there? Because he says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them. And what did he just say? A lot of people are saying, Lord, Lord, but you're not going to do what I tell you to do. And then he goes on, okay, if you come to me and hear my sayings and do with them, I'll show you what he's like. Can I paint you a picture and show you what someone who calls out to the Lord, 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 and does what the Lord tells him to do is like? And then he says in verse 48, he is like a very familiar story. He is like a man which built an house and dig deep, deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. So, whenever we build our lives upon obeying the Word of God, it's like building a house on a rock, a foundation. That when the storms, isn't it inevitable that storms are going to come in life? Are storms going to come in life? It's not really if, it's just a matter of when, right? And sometimes it's not one at a time. Sometimes it's two or three, four or five, six at a time, right? Like boom, boom, boom. It just, if you want your life to stand for the Lord, if you want to have a stable, solid life for the Lord, our lives must be built upon the teachings of the Lord and obeying the teachings of the Lord. And I believe that this applies to a Christian in particular, that we need to build upon the teachings of the Lord. We need to stand on and we need to do what He tells us to do. The second part of the story is a totally different outcome. But he that heareth and doeth not, heareth the teachings of Jesus and doeth them not, is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth. So forget the foundation. This guy's in a hurry. He's not going to build upon the foundation of the teachings of the Lord, but he's going to build just upon the earth. And it says, building a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. It didn't take long. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, I believe it's possible for people that call upon the name of the Lord, 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 but do not do what the Lord says to do. Sometimes their lives fall. Now, that doesn't mean they lost their salvation. That doesn't mean that they're not going to heaven. But that does mean that they're going to wish they'd have followed the Lord's teachings and what the Lord said. Y'all agree with that? Y'all looking at me a little perplexed now. tonight, the toughest question, I believe, in Scripture is found in that verse. Let me read it again. And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? As we looked at that tonight, the saved here would say, yeah, Lord, Lord. The saved perhaps listening tonight would say, yeah, he's my Lord, Lord. But are you doing the things that Jesus says to do? You know, as J. Vernon McGee would say, teacher of old, he's with the Lord now, That's where the rubber meets the road. But are you doing the things which Jesus says? If yes, guess what? You'll have a strong and solid life for the Lord. Strong, solid, can I say blessed life for the Lord? But if not, if you're not careful, you're in for a big fall. And I'm definitely not preaching or teaching perfection, because none of us are perfect. But let me ask you a question. If you'd bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment, let me ask you a question. Is there some area in your life that Jesus says one thing and you're doing the opposite? Is there some area in your life that Jesus says one thing, but in your life you're doing the opposite? First of all, let me tell you, that's pretty dangerous ground for any of us to be in. Really, pretty dangerous area. But God has given you the opportunity. Right now, you say, I don't know, preacher. Well, in the silence of the moment, ask the Lord right now. Say, Lord, is there something that you say one thing and I'm doing the opposite? I guarantee you, that Holy Spirit will tell you what it is. And again, that's a dangerous place to be, but God's given you the opportunity right now to recognize it and to ask God to forgive you for that and to ask God to help you do what He says. So would you do that right now? In your heart, if God is saying, you know, this area right here, the Lord says this and you're doing this. So would you just take a moment, if God showed you this right now, would you say, Lord, forgive me, and Lord, help me to do what Jesus says? The Bible in that verse says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Bible. We thank you, Lord, for the clarity of your word. And Lord, we even thank you for the tough questions, because Lord, through these tough questions, we can draw closer to you. We can recognize that we need to draw closer. Tonight specifically, we can recognize there's some things that we're not doing it the way Jesus says to do it. And Lord, help us to be all that you want us to be. Forgive us where we sin against you. May we always realize we're just sinners saved by grace, but Lord, may we not use that as an excuse, Lord, to continue to not do the things that you tell us to do. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here or anyone listening who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that tonight they may call out to the God of the universe, call out in prayer and say, Lord, please forgive me of all my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. I want Jesus to be my Savior. Lord, that simple little prayer from their heart, Lord, if they mean it, they can be saved tonight. I pray, Lord, that they'll do that very thing. We thank you, Lord, that whenever we're saved, you're not done with us. You keep working on us. And Lord, help us to do what you say to do in our life, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.